Now, the Arab awakening that has changed several governments and caused chaos in Syria has, from the outside at least, hardly changed the richest and possibly most influential Arab nation. Saudi Arabia's ruling family has helped to resist the Arab uprisings in nations in the region while keeping firm control at home. NPR's Chuck Holmes just completed a two-week trip to that country and gave us some impressions as he prepared to leave.
We've spoken to dissidents and billionaires and women and college students and bloggers and even poor Saudis. There are poor Saudis. Change seems to be on everybody's mind. You know, people talking about democratic reforms, things like wanting an elected parliament, the right of women to do things like vote and to drive, which they cannot do now.
Of course, there have hardly been any demonstrations there. So what form is all this discontent taking?
Well, you know, it's interesting, just like in Tunisia, you know, we saw in Tunisia and Egypt and Syria, much of it is on social media. I think the interesting thing about Saudi Arabia and the difference here is Saudi Arabia is largely a segregated society between men and women. So men and women here can talk online about common concerns that are happening in Saudi Arabia. That's put some pressure on the government, and it's put some pressure on them to relax these formerly strict rules about men and women mingling in public. Single men now are allowed to enter shopping malls, whereas they weren't before. They had to accompany a female family member. So you see these scenes in malls. Teenagers are kind of cruising each other and looking at each other. They don't actually speak to each other here. There's obviously no touching or holding of hands, but that kind of mall flirting is going on.
And it seems to you that this grew out of online activity. This created demand for that in society more broadly.
That's certainly the sense here, and it's the sense that it's prompted King Abdullah and the royal family to move towards more freedoms for women, especially. The king announced recently an initiative that would allow women to vote and to run in municipal elections, which are the only elections that really sort of take place in Saudi Arabia. But the king is dealing with an Islamic society here. There are plenty of conservative strains within the culture here. There's opposition within his own royal family. The perspective here of, you know, what we've heard from Saudis is he doesn't want to risk a backlash. He doesn't want to risk unrest in the streets, that the king and the government will continue to take steps and measures to try and satisfy the public's need for change and for personal freedoms, but not go too fast too soon.
Or, to put it perhaps more cynically, give some more space for personal freedoms, but make sure that the royal family remains firmly in political control. Would that be too cynical a way to think of it?
That's not too cynical at all. I mean, we've heard from plenty of people who say they believe that King Abdullah is a reformer, but certainly that change takes form in very small, small measures. And I'll give you one example, the desire for women to work. Women do hold teaching positions here. They're doctors, they're pharmacists, but they're not a huge portion of the workforce. Women have been allowed now to become sales clerks in lingerie shops in the mall. That may seem like a small thing, but many people here point to it as symbolic. Next up, makeup stores, cosmetic stores. Women sales clerks will replace the male sales clerks this summer in those types of retail establishments.
Chuck, I'm beginning to get the impression you've done a little shopping while you're in Saudi Arabia.
Well, I've spent a lot of time in malls, Steve. It's really, really hot. And that's where Saudis spend most of their time, in the mall. You see, they open early, they stay open late, and it is certainly sort of the town square of Saudi cities.
NPR's Chuck Holmes is part of a group of editors who visited Saudi Arabia as part of a program organized by Johns Hopkins University's International Reporting Project. Chuck, thanks very much.
Thanks, Steve.